This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. We continue bi-idhnillahi ta'ala our explanation of Kitabu Furu'i al-Fiqhi walhamdulillah, an epitome in Hanbali jurisprudence authored by Yusuf ibn Abdul Hadi, Yusuf ibn Abdul Hadi al-Hanbali rahimahullah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we've stated that this text is a concise yet comprehensive text, walhamdulillah. It is generally in accordance to the Hanbali madhab, but we've noticed that the author has not stuck himself to the mu'tamad of the madhab. The author sometimes has gone with certain riwayat of the madhab, and thus we've made it clear in those instances what the actual standard of the madhab might be. Remember, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, like other scholars, have various aqwal. Also within the madhab, there are various riwayat, and what we have stated is the official position of the madhab. And what is the official position of the madhab? According to the latter-day Hanbali scholars, whatever Sahib al-Iqna, whatever the author of al-Iqna, Musa al-Hajjawi, and the author of Muntaha, and that is Al-Fatuhi, whatever both of them have agreed upon, Ibn al-Najjar al-Fatuhi Al-Misri, whatever two of them have agreed upon, that according to the latter-day Hanbali scholars is the standard of the madhab, the official position of the madhab, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, this is a text that we are going through. And as is the case with a student of knowledge, we go step by step, we go level by level, walhamdulillah. Our explanation, without dabbling into the various adilla and the proofs, this is so that we understand the school of jurisprudence. And what is a school of jurisprudence except a school of interpretation? Interpreting what? Interpreting the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, the author states, الثالث الوقت, the third precondition, the matter of time. He begins with Salatul Zuhr. Why? Because when Jibreel had come down and led the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the prayers 2 days, he led him the first day at the beginning time of each prayer, and the second day towards the end of that prayer time, and then said to him, the prayer times are in between these two. Jibreel, during these 2 days, began with Salatul Zuhr, and that's why the author also, as many other fuqaha, they begin with the time of Salatul Zuhr in sync with the hadith of Jibreel, walhamdulillah. Fi Zuhri bizzawal, that the time of Salatul Zuhr begins with the passing of Zawal. What is Zawal? Zawal is your midday. Zawal is your midday when the sun is in the middle of the sky, it's at its zenith. So after this Zawal, give maybe 2 to 3 minutes, after this Zawal, then the time of Salatul Zuhr enters, walhamdulillah. When does it end? وَيَلِيهِ وَقْتُ الْعَصْرِ مِنْ مَصِيرِ ظِلْ كُلْ شَيْءٍ مِثْلَهُ. And Salatul Asr time begins when the shadow of an object equals the size of the object. So that means Salatul Zuhr time ends when the shadow of the object equals the object. So again, Salatul Zuhr time begins after Zawal and ends when the shadow of an object equals the object. When Zuhr time ends, directly with that Salatul Asr time begins, walhamdulillah. Take note, many a times at the time of Zawal, when the sun is above our heads, there's no shadow. Depending where you are on earth, there might not be any shadow at all. Or for example, there is the minimum shadow. For example, the shadows are getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter as we are getting closer and closer to Zawal. And then at exactly midday, maybe
For example's sake, the shadow, the size of the shadow, the minimum shadow, here it is 10 centimeters. Another place in the world, it might be no shadow at all. But this place, it's now 10 centimeters. And so when will Salatul Dhuhr time end? Well, when the shadow of the object equals the object plus this 10 centimeters, which was that minimum shadow at the time of Zawal. Walhamdulillah. And so that's the time of Salatul Dhuhr. Then the time of Salatul Asr enters. إِلَى مَصِيرْ ذِلْ كُلْ شَيْءٍ مِثْلَيْهِ Salatul Asr time continues until there's double shadow. MashaAllah. Until the object, we find the object, 1 meter object. And now we have our shadow which equals 2 meters. So Salatul Asr time, Salatul Asr, Mukhtar time, preferred time, best time has now come to an end. Then comes in the Darura time. Darura time of Salatul Asr. I shouldn't be praying in the Darura time unless I have a valid excuse. The Darura time continues until the time of Maghrib, until the time of sunset, walhamdulillah. So ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we've covered the beginning time of Salatul Dhuhr. We covered the end time of Salatul Dhuhr, which is also the beginning time of Salatul Asr. Then Asr time can be divided into two, the preferred time, which ends when the shadow is double the size of the object, and then the Darura time, time of necessity, it continues up to the time of Salatul Maghrib, which is up to sunset. Up to sunset, that's when I can pray Salatul Asr, up to the time of sunset, walhamdulillah. And Zawal, give 2 to 3 minutes if your calendar, if your app says Zawal is at 12:15. So around 12:13, don't pray anything. And maybe 15, 16, 17, between 12:13 and 12:17, don't pray anything at all. So give 2 or 3 minutes before, 2 or 3 minutes after, walhamdulillah. وَيَلِيهِ وَقْتُ الْمَغْرِبِ مِنْ مَغْرِبِ الشَّمْسِ And Salatul Maghrib is from when? Salatul Maghrib is from the time that the sun sets. It's from the time of sunset until when? وَيَلِيهِ وَقْتُ الْمَغْرِبِ
مِنْ مَغِيبِ الشَّمْسِ وَيَلِيهِ وَقْتُ الْعِشَى مِنْ مَغِيبِ الشَّفَقِ الْأَحْمَرِ إِلَى ثُلُثِ اللَّيْلِ
So Salatul Maghrib begins after sunset. And Salatul Isha time comes in when the redness, when the red twilight disappears. So that means Maghrib time begins with sunset and ends when the redness, the red twilight disappears. So for as long as that redness is still in the sky, it's still Salatul Maghrib time, walhamdulillah. And so then Isha begins with the disappearance of the redness in the sky. That's when Isha enters. And the preferred time for Isha expires when 1/3 of the night finishes. So Salatul Isha is from the time when the redness in the sky disappears up to the time of 1/3 of the night. That is the time of Salatul Isha, preferred time. And then the Darura time for Salatul Isha continues until the time of Salatul Fajr, until the time of Salatul Fajr, the Fajr As-Sadiq, until the true time of Salatul Fajr, that is the Darura time of Salatul Isha. So one could pray Salatul Isha at 1 a.m., or at midnight, or at 2 a.m. if I had a valid excuse to delay it up to that time. Walhamdulillah. Now lastly, وَيَلِيهِ وَقْتُ الْفَجْرِ مِنْ طُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ الثَّانِي And the time of Salatul Fajr is from the second Fajr, which is the true Fajr, إِلَى طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ up to the time of sunrise. Walhamdulillah. So you have Fajr al-Kadhib, we have the false dawn, then later on you have the true dawn. So from true dawn until sunrise, that's the time of Salatul Fajr, walhamdulillah. Now, to catch your Salah within the time, how much of the Salah do you need to catch within the time? According to the Madhab, you need to say Allahu Akbar within the time. If you had done so, then you have caught that prayer within the time, even though your Surah Al-Fatiha and your first ruku and the rest of the rak'as, the rest of the units, technically they are all within the expired time. As long as you get your Allahu Akbar within the time, you have caught that prayer on time. Walhamdulillah. That's the general rule. Except with regards to Salatul Jumu'ah. For Salatul Jumu'ah, you need to catch one rak'ah, then only you would have caught that Salatul Jumu'ah. So for example, the Imam is in ruku, he's in his second rak'ah, and he is in his ruku. And so you caught him in the ruku, walhamdulillah, you have caught your Salatul Jumu'ah. But you missed the Imam in the ruku, you caught the Imam in the final sajda. Here, you join the Imam, but your intention is Salatul Zuhr. When the Imam says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, after his second salam, then you stand up to complete your prayer, but you will be praying four rak'ahs of Salatul Zuhr, walhamdulillah, because you've missed your Jumu'ah. But I caught the Imam, I got the Allahu Akbar. No. For Salatul Jumu'ah, you need to catch a rak'ah to have caught that prayer, walhamdulillah. Al-Rabi'u, the fourth precondition, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatallah, is Satrul Awrah, covering of the Awrah. Bima la yasiful bashara, min ma bayna surra, ma bayna surrati rajulin wa rukbatahu. That one needs to cover the aura. What is the aura of the man? The aura of the male is between his navel and his knee. So this area here between the navel and the knee, not the navel and the knee, but between the navel and the knee, this is part of the aura of the man. And this must be covered. What is meant by covered? What is meant is that we should not be able to see the color of the skin below that area. We should not be able to see the color of the skin in that area. So that is the aura of the man. We should not be able to see the color of the skin. وَأَمَةٌ مَا يَظْهُرُ ما يظهر غالبا. And as for female slave, then the aura of this woman is everything besides what is usually exposed. So usually the hand, the face, etc., all of this is exposed. So the author states that this is the aura of the female slave, that whatever usually is exposed can be exposed, but this in reality is not the official position of the madhab. The official position of the madhab is that the aura of the female slave is similar to the aura of the man. That which must be covered is between the navel and the knee. And so that is the obligation upon the female slave, the area between the navel and the knee, that must be covered. But if, for example, the rest of the body was exposed in her salah, technically her salah is valid according to the official madhab, official position of the madhab. As for the aura of those who are under the age of 7, then it's the front and rear private organs. Front and rear private organs, that is the aura of those who are under the age of 7, and so there's more flexibility given with regards to them. As for a free woman, وَحُرَّةٌ كُلُّهَا غَيْرْ وَجْهٍ وَكَفٍ وَقَدَمٍ. This is obviously with regards to salah. We are talking about awrah in salah. وَحُرَّةٌ, a free woman, her entire body is awrah except the face. This here is the official position of the madhab. That her entire body must be covered except the face. She's praying in her house, whole body must be covered except her face. She's praying in her father's house, the whole body must be covered except the face. This is the official position of the madhab. But our author says, and the hands and the feet can also be exposed. We say, yes, there are riwayat, there are opinions, etc. But the official position is that only the face can be exposed. As for the hands, they must be covered. As for the feet, they must also be covered. This is all to do with in salah, when she is praying in the comfort of her own home without any strange men around. But if there's strange men around, then here she even covers her face in salah. If there's strange men around, she even covers her face in salah. As for the aura of nazar, the aura of walking in the street and the aura of somebody looking at yourself, etc., that's a separate discussion. Here we are only talking about the aura in salah. We're only talking about the aura in salah, and she's praying in her house, she does not have to cover her face. Walhamdulillah. The author then moves on. Al-Khamisu, the fifth precondition. Istiqbal al-Qibla, facing towards the Qibla. Fi ghayri shiddati khawfin, except when you're in a state of extreme fear. So we know that when we are on the battlefield and the enemy is in front, etc., there's something called Salatul Khawf, a manner that we pray this Salah, and this is called Salatul Khawf, a special manner of praying this prayer. What if your fear is to such a level that you're unable to even pray in Jama'ah, and this Salatul Khawf, you pray in whatever manner you can pray. You in the trenches, you are shooting, you are running, you are crawling, you pray in whatever manner you can pray. So here, facing towards the Qibla is not a requirement. وَنَافِلَةٍ عَلَى رَاحِلَةٍ فِي السَّفَرِ. Also, if you are praying Nafil Salah while you are on your means of transport, while you are a Musafir, you can pray in any direction. Three matters. You are Musafir, you are on your means of transport, and you are praying Nafil Salah. Here you do not have to face the Qibla, walhamdulillah. This is why, this is encouragement for us to pray a lot of Nawafil while we are on travel. Subhanallah. Many of us, when we are on travel, in fact, everything decreases. And here we find the Sharia granting us concession, making it easy so that we can do more, trying to encourage us to do more of Nawafil while we are on travel, walhamdulillah. Then we move on, as-sadisu, the sixth precondition, an-niyyatu, and that is the matter of intention. You need to know exactly what you are doing. Muqarinatun lit-ta'bir, in fact, that should rather be lit-takbir. It should be lit-takbir, that you should have your intention at the time when you are saying Allahu Akbar. You need to know what you are doing. With regards to intention, then intention, the place of intention is in your heart. As long as you know what you are doing, walhamdulillah, that suffices, masha'Allah. Can one's intention, can one's salah be nullified? You know, if you nullify your intention, the answer is yes. So the brother is in salah, and while in salah, he intends that, you know what, I'm not making salah any longer. I'm not in salah. My salah is nullified. It's over. Then technically his salah is nullified. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. His salah is nullified. Somebody is in salah and he's very hungry. Somebody is in salah and he's very hungry. And so he's in his salah and he's thinking, you know, maybe I should, stop my salah. Maybe I should go and eat something. You know, maybe that's a better thing for me to do right now. And he's playing around with the idea. As long as he's not nullified his intention of salah, he's still in salah. There's a difference between breaking your intention and intending to do something which would break your salah. I'm intending to eat, I'm intending to hit the person in front of me, etc., while I'm in salah. These are wrong things. If I did it, my salah would be nullified. But as long as I haven't yet done it, my salah is still fine. Walhamdulillah, masha'Allah. Athani, the next matter, the arkan, meaning athani, the second matter related to salah. The second matter related to salah. The first matter was the preconditions, and then we went within six preconditions. The first one was tahara, and then we went into the whole discussion of tahara. Then we went through the other five preconditions. Now we come to the second matter related to salah, and that is the arkan of salah, the pillars of salah. Number one, al-qiyamu fil fard, standing and praying your fard salah. So in your sunnah, your nafil, you can sit, no problem. Fard, you have to stand. It's a pillar. Takbiratul ihram, saying Allahu Akbar at the beginning of your salah. Number three, al-fatihatu lighayr al-ma'mum, that's suratul fatiha for the imam and for the munfarid, the imam and the one who's praying on his own. As for the one praying behind an imam, you do not have to read Suratul Fatiha. You can if you want. It's recommended for you to do so, but it's not a rukn, it's not a pillar, it's not a pillar, it's not a requirement from you. The imam covers for you, inshallah. Whether it be the silent or the aloud prayers, you are praying behind an imam, he covers for you, inshallah. It's good for you to read, but it's not an obligation. And remember, Suratul Fatiha, you need to recite every letter. You need to recite every letter. Otherwise, you've not recited Suratul Fatiha. So it's very, very important that one recites Suratul Fatiha correctly. What is meant by recitation? That you need to read audibly enough to hear yourself without any external interference or disturbances. So if you were alone in a room and you were Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, up to the point that you can hear yourself, then that is what is required, inshallah. As for, I'm reading in my heart, not acceptable. I'm moving my lips. I can't really hear myself, but my lips are moving. This is a riwayah in the madhab, but this is not the official position. Official position is you need to raise your voice to the extent that you can hear yourself. Walhamdulillah. Number four, arwar ruku, and you need to make ruku. Minimum ruku is that you reach the point where your hands are able to touch your knees. You bend your back up to the point that your hands can touch your knees. That is the minimum ruku which is required. Even if your hands don't touch your knee, but you reach that point, then that is the minimum definition of ruku. وَالرَّفْعُ مِنْهُ وَالْإِعْتِدَالِ Standing up after the ruku and standing straight up after the ruku. والسجود على الأعضاء السبعة, making sujood upon your seven limbs, your hands, your knees, your feet, your nose and your forehead are regarded as one. وَالْجُلُوسُ مِنْهُ sitting between the two sajdatain. وَالطَّمَأْنِينَةُ فِي كُلْ ذَلِكْ طَمَأْنِينَ meaning like tranquility, pausing for each rukn, for each pillar, in each pillar, giving it its haq, insha'Allah. And some of the ulama, as Sahibul Iqna has stated that, the minimum is one qadr of the taqdeer of the dhikr wajib. Like for example, saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, or Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, that minimum duration to say that one tasbih, that's the minimum duration I need to be fixed in any rukn, in any pillar. That's the tama'nina, which is required as minimum. What tashahud al-akhir, the final tashahud, in which you will recite at-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawat, etc., upon which you would also send salawat upon the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that final tashahud, والجلوس له, sitting for that final tashahud, التسليمة الأولى, the first salam. According to the official position of the madhab, it is a rukn that you make two salams. The mu'tamad is you need to make two salams. And that's why if you're praying in jama'ah and you came in late, the imam says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You find some people standing up to complete their salah. No, you need to wait until the imam makes both of his salam, and then you stand up to complete your salah. Then you stand to complete your salah. And so for your fard salawat, two taslim, two salams, they are an obligation. As for janazah salah, sajdatu shukr, sajdat tilawa, etc., there one salam suffices, insha'Allah. Number 12, tartib, keeping to this order. Then the author moves on to the wajibat. What's the difference between a rukn and a wajib? Both of them, if you leave them out purposefully, your salah is null and void. Rukn and a wajib, you leave them out, your salah is null and void. But with the rukn, it's more important in that if you missed it by mistake, you forgot, you missed something, then you need to rewind, you need to go back, you need to correct it. Whereas if you miss a wajib, you continue your salah and you make sajdatu sahu at the end and it suffices, walhamdulillah. So for example, the brother, he missed his ruku in the first rak'ah and he realized when he was in his sajda, Subhanallah, I forgot to make ruku, he says to himself, he thinks to himself. Straight away from that sajda position, you rewind, you go and make your ruku, and then you continue from that ruku. So from that ruku, then you're going to come up, Sami Allahu liman hamida, you're going to go Allahu Akbar one sajda, Allahu Akbar sit, Allahu Akbar second sajda, and continue normal. So you rewind to that missed pillar and continue your salah as normal from that pillar onwards, and you make sajda to sahu at the end. That's one option. The second option is that let's say I missed my ruku in my first rak'ah, but I only remembered in my second rak'ah. Walladhalin amin. Now I remembered, subhanAllah, I forgot my ruku in my first rak'ah. Now do I rewind? No, I can't rewind now. Why? Because as long as I have started the next rak'ah and I've started Suratul Fatiha, I've started my recitation, I can't rewind. I cannot rewind. So what happens? That first rak'ah unit, which has a missed ruku in it, it becomes, the whole thing becomes null and void. It like disappears. And my second rak'ah becomes my first. My third becomes my second. My fourth becomes my third. And I need to do one more. Technically, one might say here, I've made five rak'ahs. Yes, but the first was null and void. And so that's how I continue my salah there. So we've covered the differences between the rukn and the wajib. And we also discuss what happens if one misses any one of them. Walhamdulillah. Number one, التسبيح في الركوع والسجود. So there are nine. There are nine wajibat, but the author only mentions eight. We will cover the ninth one, inshallah. One and two, سبحان ربي العظيم and your سبحان ربي الأعلى. One time minimum is the wajib. Number two, قول سمع الله لمن حميدة. This here, the imam says this, the one who's praying on his own, he says this. Allah listens to the one who praises him. As for the one following the imam, you don't say this. What do you say? Rabbana wa lakal hamd. So you can say Rabbana lakal hamd, Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd, Allahumma Rabbana wa lakal hamd. But Imam Ahmed preferred Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Number four, at-takbiru inda takbiratil ihram, ghair takbiratil ihram. All the Allahu Akbars in the salah besides the one at the beginning of the salah. So all the takbirs for the movement in salah, tashahud, the first tashahud, sitting for that first tashahud. Then he mentions salah ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salah ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in reality that there is a pillar, that there is a pillar. Salah upon the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not in the wajibat section. Rather, it is supposed to be in the pillar section. Pillar section, that's the official position of the madhab. That's the mu'tamad. And the minimum with regards to salawat upon the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that one says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Saying the Durood Ibrahim, that's the best. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. That's the best option. But Allahumma salli ala Muhammad is the minimum and it's a rukn and not in the wajibat. Next one, taslima al-thaniya, the second salam. No, we said that this here is a rukn. The second salam is a rukn according to the mutaakhirin of the Hanbali scholars. So the first and the second salam in the pillar category, the arkan. Then we can also add in here, su'al al-maghfira bayna sajdatain, to say, rabbi ghfirli, minimum one time between your two sujood. This here is a wajib, walhamdulillah. Then the author moves on, الرابعو, the fourth matter pertaining to the salah, that which is mustahab, mustahab. So we covered the arkan, we covered the wajibat, everything besides that is a recommendation. From amongst them, al-istiftah, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk, or one of the others, Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya, etc. Ta'udh, saying a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, at the beginning of your prayer, before your suratul fatiha, and then after that your bismillah at the beginning of every rak'ah. So bismillah before every rak'ah, just before the Suratul Fatiha, and A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem at the beginning of your salah. So you say Allahu Akbar, and then your opening dua, and then A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. وَمَا زَادَ عَنِ الْمَرَّةِ فِي التَّسْبِيحِ, and every tasbih besides the first. So we said Subhana Rabbiya Al-Azim. A second, a third, a fourth, a tenth, a hundred time, they are all recommended. Same with your sujood, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, one time is the minimum, and then everything beyond that is a recommendation. So one is the wajib, the minimum kamal is three, the very good kamal is seven, and you know, more the merrier, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. Su'al al-maghfira, su'al al-maghfira between the two sajdas, in reality we said that this here is wajib. So say, Rabbi ghfirli, between the two sujood, this is not a sunnah, but rather this is a wajib. Wa nahwa thalik, and other matters. Wa minhu fi'lun, and as for actions which are sunnah, raf'u al-yadain, lifting up the hands at the beginning of the prayer, lifting up the hands before your ruku, lifting up the hands after your ruku, these three times, this is the these are the recommendations. As for lifting up the hands after your first tashahud, when you stand up for the third rak'ah, then Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, he didn't prefer to do this. If somebody does this, there's no problem, it's all well and fine, but Imam Ahmed preferred not to do this. وسؤال كالرفع والوضع. وضع meaning to tie the hands. To tie the right hand over the left hand. Where to tie? According to the official position of the madhab, it is below the navel. Below the navel. Ibn Ishaq ibn Rahaway, for example, he states that the ahadith about tying the hand below the navel, they are more authentic. And he says that this is closer to tawadu. No doubt there's great debate with regards to this matter, various opinions in the madhab and stuff like this. But we are discussing the official position of the madhab, and that is to tie the hand below the navel. Wa nahwa dhalik. Al-khamisu al-mubahu, that which is permissible in your salah. Little bit of actions in salah if you need to, for maslaha. For example, you know, you are standing in your salah and there's a door in front of you and somebody knocked on the door. You can take one step forward and open that door. Your phone begins to ring and you know, you remove the phone from your pocket and you put it onto silent. This is something which is permissible. So a little bit of action for haja, for maslaha, it is permissible, insha'Allah. Kullu fi'lin sumiha fihi fiha. That which is permitted, insha'Allah, as we had just discussed. Wa mithlu addil ayah. Addil ayah. This is, you want to count the number of verses. So you're in Surah Kafirun. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. So you move your fingers slightly, you know, indicating the number of verses. Or any other, you know, you're counting the surahs that you are reciting in your prayer using your fingers, no problem with that. وَقَتْلِ الْحَيَّةِ, and killing a snake while you're in salah, no problem. And aqrab, a scorpion, qumla, lice, etc. All of these matters, carrying a kid, carrying the copy of the Noble Quran, all of these examples would be permissible. These are movements in salah, yes. They are external movements of to salah. Yes, they are. But I'm doing it. It's a little bit and it is for maslaha. It is for benefit. And so it would be allowed, insha'Allah. The next matter. As-sadisu makruh. Makruh actions in salah. Kullu fi'lin mukhalifin laha abathan. You're doing a little bit of action, but there's no benefit. There's no need for this action. No need for this action. It does not nullify your salah, but it is makruh. Like, for example, fidgeting with your fingers and you know, putting your fingers together, folding your fingers together, etc. These type of actions, popping your knuckles, interlacing the fingers, these are disliked actions. As for muharram, that which nullifies your salah, amal al-kathir min ghair jinsiha. It is a lot of action which is from outside, external to the salah. Somebody looks at you, he thinks that, you know, you're playing with your head, you're playing with your leg, you're playing with your foot, you're doing some crazy stuff in your salah. This goes back to the urf, the custom and the norms of the people. Somebody looks at you, sees that this man, he's not in salah. So this is a lot of action and it is continuous action. A lot of action, continuous action. So here your salah is nullified. The author states, وَالصَّلَوَاتُ ثَلَاثَةُ أَقْسَامٍ. Salawat can be divided into three categories. Fardu Ain, Fard Kifaya, and Sunnah. Fardu Ain, that actual salah is required from everyone. Your five daily salawat, Salatul Jumu'ah, it's an obligation upon certain individuals. They have to be there. They have to do it. They cannot subcontract it. As for Fard Kifaya, you can outsource it. Salatul Janazah, Salatul Eid, according to the Madhab. As long as a group of Muslims perform this salah, then it would suffice upon the others. Walhamdulillah, mashaAllah. So let's begin with Fard Ain. Salawatul Khams, the five daily prayers. Ala kulli muslimin mukallafin, upon every mature Muslim. Ghair ha'idin, except the one who is in menses. Wanu fasa, the one who is postpartum bleeding. Waza'ilil aqli bi amrin yu'adharu fihi. And similarly with regards to the one who might have been drunk, the one who might have been in a coma, the one who might have been asleep, according to the official position of the madhab, any individual who was in a coma, the individual who was drunk, the individual was asleep, once they regain consciousness, they need to make up qada of all of the salawat that they miss. As for the one who was asleep, it's quite clear. As for the one who was drunk, most definitely, you made yourself drunk And so you need to make up the prayers which you missed. As for the one who was in a coma, there was an accident. You know, there was a valid reason that I was in, you know, I missed out all of these salawat, etc. It's not my fault. Here, even the madhab states you were unconscious for 10 days. You need to make qada of all of those prayers. Other ulama, other scholars, etc. And it seems that even our author here goes with the opinion that you do not require making qada, but the official position of the school is that one requires making qada of all of those prayers. So whether you were asleep, whether you were drunk, whether you have fainted, whether you were in a coma due to a car accident, whether you were in a coma or you lost consciousness due to an operation that was being performed upon you, all the salawat which were missed, qada needs to be made for all of them. Number two, fard kifaya prayers. Salatul Eidain, the two Eids, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. يَخْطُبُ بَعْدَهَا. So we have the prayer first, and then after that we have the khutbah after the Salatul Eid. We have the two khutbahs we have after Salatul Eid. يَخْطُبُ بَعْدَهَا. وَوَقْتُهَا عِنْدَ إِرْتِفَاعِ الشَّمْسِ وَيُصَلِّي بِتَكْبِيرٍ. And the time of Salatul Eid is after the sun has risen, what's this, a spear length above the horizon, up to the time just before Zawal. So that's the time we pray Salatul Eid. And obviously, the earlier the better, walhamdulillah. The author states that, وَوَقْتُهَا عِنْدَ إِرْتِفَاعِ الشَّمْسِ وَيُصَلِّي بِتَكْبِيرٍ. And you pray this Salatul Eid, you know, which has extra takbirs in it. It has extra takbirs in it. وَيُكَبِّرُ فِي لَيْلَتَي الْعِيدَيْنِ مُطْلَقًا. And also, the nights of the Eid, we should be making a lot of takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illa Allahu, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. And so, the nights of the two Eids, this is a time that we should be making takbir. And so, from the Maghrib before, we need to be making a lot of takbir, insha'Allah. وَفِي الْأَضْحَى, as for the second Eid, أَقِبْ الْفَرَائِضْ, after every fard prayer, we should be saying the takbir directly. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And then we say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd, etc. We make your takbir directly after the fard salah if you prayed in jama'ah. This means if you prayed a nafil salah or you prayed on your own, then there's no takbir. There's no takbir. From when? The author states, min asri arafa. Correct thing is that min fajri arafa, not asr far arafa, but rather min fajri arafa ila akhir ayyam at-tashriq. So from the day of arafa, from the fajr of arafa, right up to the final day of tashriq, right up to the asr of the final day of tashriq, we continue to say this takbir after every salah. So after the Fajr on the day of Arafah, and it ends on the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, the final day of Tashriq, the final day of Tashriq. Salatul Janaza. يُكَبِّرُ فِيهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ مِنْ غَيْرِ رُكُوعٍ. يُكَبَّرُ فِيهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ مِنْ غَيْرِ رُكُوعٍ. So in Salatul Janaza, there are four extra takbirs. وَلَا سُجُود, there's no sujood. يَقْرَأُ فِيهِ فِي الْأُولَى الْفَاتِحَة وَيُصَلِّي عَلَى النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم فِي الثَّانِيَة. First takbir, we say Allahu Akbar, we recite Suratul Fatiha. After the second, durood upon the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيَدْعُوا لِلْمَيِّتْ فِي الثَّالِثَ. After the third, we make dua for the deceased. So important, we obviously need to stand and perform the salah. You need to make salam at the end. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. One salam suffices following this order. So Suratul Fatiha, durood, dua upon the deceased. Walhamdulillah. وَتَكُونُ الصَّلَاةُ عَلَيْهِ بَعْدَ أَنْ يُغَسَّلْ وَيُنَظَّفْ وَيُكَفَّنْ. We pray janazah salah, obviously after we have washed the deceased, we've perfumed him, we've cleansed him, we've put the kafan on him, then we pray salatul janazah over him. وَيُكَفَّنُ الرَّجُلْ فِي ثوبين. The author states, we shroud the male in two garments of cloth, in two pieces of cloth? No. The male rather in three pieces of cloth. That's the opinion of the madhab and majority of the scholars. And as for the female, in five pieces. وَيُحْمَلُ تَرْبِيعًا. and carrying this deceased, carrying the deceased to the graveyard, etc. It is best that the deceased is carried towards the cemetery in a quadratic manner. That, for example, you stand on one side, on one corner of carrying the bier, and then you move to the next one, and then you move to the next one, you move to the next one. And this is what is meant by تربيعًا. وَيُدْفَنُ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ فِي قَبْرٍ عَمِيقٍ يَمْنَعُ ظُهُورَ الرَّائِحَةِ. And the individual should be buried in a grave which is deep enough to ensure that there's no ra'iha, there's no smell, etc., which emanates from that grave. The author continues, الثالث, the third matter, السُنَّة أَنْوَاعٍ. We have sunnah which is mutlaq and sunnah which is muqayyid. We have general sunnah, unrestricted, and when we have restricted. The unrestricted, number one. And subhanAllah, remember the three severe times, sunrise, sunset, and zawal. During these times, you do not pray. You do not pray any type of, general two rakahs prayer. In fact, even janazah salah, we do not even pray it during the three severe times. Three severe times, we don't even pray janazah salah. Mutlaq. ما لا يختص بوقت. It doesn't have any specific time. فيسن في جميع الأوقات إلا في خمس أوقات. It is prescribed at all times except five prohibited times. What are these five prohibited times? بعد طلوع الفجر. After طلوع الفجر. Add in طلوع الفجر. After the true dawn. حتى تطلع الشمس. Until sunrise. From true dawn until sunrise is a prohibited time. وعند طلوعها حتى ترتفع and وعند طلوعها حتى ترتفع وقبل الزوال وبعد العصر وعند الغروب. So the five times are from the time of true dawn up to sunrise. وعند طلوعها حتى ترتفع and from the time of the entry time of or the tulu of fajr until the sun rises, that's the second. Wa qabla zawal, around the time of zawal, after asr and at the time of sunset. With regards to the fajr time, there's two prohibited times. There's the minor prohibited time, that is from fajr as-sadiq until we pray the actual fajr prayer. So a fajr adhan is 5 a.m. and jama'ah is at 5:30. That half an hour is a minor prohibited time. You're not allowed to pray anything except the two sunnah of Salatul Fajr. And then after Salatul Fajr until sunrise is, another prohibited time. Then zawal is the third. And after Salatul Asr is the fourth. And the time of sunset is the fifth. Three major prohibited times and two minor prohibited times. جميل. الثاني المقيد صلوات which are restricted وهو ما له وقت يفعل فيه. It has a specific time. وهو إما وقته تابع لوقت فرض. Some of them are the prayers which are like attached to the fard prayer. وهو السنن الرواتب. The sunnah الرواتب prayers. They are 10 rak'ahs in total. 2 before ظهر, 2 after ظهر, 2 after مغرب, 2 after عشاء, and 2 before Salatul Fajr. These 10 rak'ahs are the Sunan al-Rawatib. According to the Madhab, there are 10 Sunan al-Rawatib. Yes, before Zuhr you can pray 4 if you want, no problem. But the 2, they are Sunan al-Rawatib. Before Salatul Asr, it's recommended to pray 4 rak'ahs. But that's not Sunnah al-Rawatib. Walhamdulillah. Ma laysa lahu and Sunan al-Rawatib. What's the time for this? The sunnah before the fard prayer, its time expires, when you begin your fard prayer. And the sunnah which comes after the fard prayer, its time expires when that prayer time expires. وَإِمَّا وَقْتُهُ تَابِعٌ لِوَقْتِ فَرْدٍ وَهُوَ السُنَّةَ الرَّوَاتِبِ. Then وَمَا لَيْسَ بِتَابِعٍ, and that which is not following any of the five daily prayers, like صَلَاتُ الضُّحَى مِنْ إِرْتِفَاعِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَى قُبَيْلِ الزَّوَالِ. صَلَاتُ الضُّحَى, the time begins after sunrise up to just before زَوَال, قُبَيْلِ الزَّوَالِ. قُبَيْل الزَّوَال, inshaAllah. So that's Salatul Duha. If you pray your Duha early, we also call it Salatul Ishraq. But if you pray it much, much later, we call it Awabin, or we just call it Salatul Duha. The author then states, وَالْوِتْرُ مِنْ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَىٰ إِلَىٰ طُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ.
And witr salah is from the time of salatul isha up to the time of salatul, up to the time of salatul fajr. And so if I made jam', I prayed my maghrib and isha early because I'm a musafir or because I was ill, then technically my witr time has now entered. Witr is after salatul isha, up to the time of salatul fajr. The minimum is 1 rak'ah and the maximum is 11 rak'ahs. Jayid. Taraweeh salah is in Ramadan, prayed in jama'ah, and its time also enters after salatul isha, up to the time of salatul, up to the time of salatul fajr. Walhamdulillah. Someone asks, what's the difference between witr salah and qiyamul layl or salatul layl? We say that a witr salah begins after isha. There's also a specific number that's recommended, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, minimum is 1, etc. And if you miss your witr, you can make qada of it. These are matters related to the witr. Whereas Qiyamul Layl is different in that its time begins at sunset. Its time begins at sunset and not necessarily after Isha. Salatul Layl, Qiyamul Layl, time begins after sunset. And there's no specific recommended number. You pray 2, 2, 2, 2, 2 and you continue the whole night. Walhamdulillah. Also, if you miss it, there's no qada. And also, you pray it in twos as opposed to your witr salah. Walhamdulillah. The author then states, وَصَلَاتُ الْكُسُوفِ عِنْدَ كُسُوفِ الشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ, that we prayed the prayer of the eclipse when there's a solar or a lunar eclipse. صَلَاتُ الْإِسْتِسْقَى, when there's no rainfall, when there's this drought. رَكْعَتَيْن فِي جَمَاعَةٍ, we pray 2 rak'ahs in jama'ah, and there's a khutbah after that. Sujood al-Quran, sujood al-tilawa, when you recite a verse of sajda or you were listening attentively to somebody's recitation, you do so. Yukabbiru wa yasjud, you say Allahu Akbar and then you go down into sajda. Walaw fi salah, even if you in salah, you go down straight into this sajda. Wayajlis, then you sit, and then you also say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Obviously, that's if you are not in salah. Jayid. Wala yatashahad, and there's no tashahud for this. So if I'm reading Quran, I'm seated on the floor and I'm reading Quran, I come across a verse of sajda, it's recommended for me to stand up, to say Allahu Akbar, to go down into that sajda, subhana rabbi al-a'la 3 times, Allahu Akbar. Sit and then say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, move my head towards the right. Now I have done this sajda of tilawa, walhamdulillah. According to the madhab, sajda of tilawa, sajda of shukr, they follow the rules of a salah. They follow the rules of a salah. That's why we begin it with Allahu Akbar and we make end it with a assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And then the author, the last page with regards to the matters of salah states, وَتَجِبُ الْجَمَاعَ لِلصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ. Salatul Jama'ah is wajib, is an obligation upon the men in jama'ah. So this shows it's not an obligation upon the women, not an obligation upon those who have an excuse, the ones who are not free, etc., the slaves, etc., the one who is ill, the one who is sick, it's not an obligation upon them also. If I missed my prayer in jama'ah and I prayed on my own, I might be sinful, but is my salah valid? Yes, my salah is valid. Walhamdulillah. يَأُمُّ فِيهَا الْأَقْرَى, that the imam should be, the imam in a fard salah has to be somebody who is baligh. But in my nafil salah, we can have an imam, the kid who's 6, 7 years old, no problem. Who should be the imam? The aqra. Aqra meaning the one who reads best. Not necessarily the one who memorized more, but rather the one who reads best. Walhamdulillah. ثُمَّ الْأَعْلَمُ, then the one who's most knowledgeable with regards to the fiqh of salah, then the one who's older, then the ashraf, the person who is more noble, this person from Banu Hashim, then after that somebody from the Quraysh, they are given preference. ثُمَّ الْأَقْدَمُ هِجْرَةً, then the one who made the hijrah earlier. Walhamdulillah. قُدَّامُ الْمَأْمُومِ إِنْ كَانَ رَجُلًا, the imam stands in front of the followers if the imam is a man, and if the imam's a woman, amongst a jama'ah of only females, then the imama stands in the middle and the sisters are on her right and the sisters are on her left. وَمَعَهُنَّ الْمَرْأَةِ, Jayid.
And if, for example, it's a mixed jama'ah, then obviously it's a man who leads and not a woman. وَيَصِحُ عَنْ يَمِينِهِ وَيَسَارِهِ. And it's also permissible for the people, for the men, to stand on the right-hand side of the imam. So we have an imam and 10 brothers. The imam stands there, and all these 10 brothers stand on the right-hand side of the imam. Permissible. All 10 stand behind the imam. Best option. 5 stand on the right of the imam, 5 stand on the left of the imam, directly in line with him. This is also permissible. All 10 stand on the left-hand side of the imam. This here is not permissible. Also, one individual standing alone behind the saf, this is something which is not permissible. The author states, وَالْمَرْأَةُ الْوَاحِدَةُ تَقِفُ خَلْفَهُ. And one woman, she stands behind the imam. Yes, if it's just the imam and one woman, then this woman stands behind. She does not stand on the side of the imam. وَيُعْذَرُ فِي الْجَمَاعَ بِكُلِّ عُذْرٍ تَعْظُمُ مَعَهُ الْمَشَقَّ بِالْحُضُورِ. And if a person has a valid excuse so that they are unable to make it to the jama'ah, no problem, any valid excuse will suffice, insha'Allah. The person's sick, the person's ill, the person's, musafir, etc. All of these valid excuses will work. وَجَمَاعَةُ الْجُمُعَةِ أَرْبَعُونَ. For Salatul Jumu'ah, we require 40 individuals, not 40 musafirs? No, not 40 residents. A musafir decides to stay in this place 1 year because he is studying. He becomes a muqim. For Jumu'ah, we require 40 muqims? No, we require 40 mustawtineen. Mustawtineen meaning permanent residents. You have musafir, then you have resident, then you have permanent residency. And so we require 40 permanent residents. They have wives, they have houses, they have children in that area. وَفِي الْعِيدِ رِوَايَتَانِ. And with regards to Eid, there's two opinions, and the official position of the madhab is that we require 40 here also. وَلَا تَجِبُ الْجُمُعَةُ عَلَى إِمْرَأَةٍ. No jumu'ah upon the woman, nor the slave, nor the musafir. وَمَنْ حَضَرَهَا وَجَبَتْ عَلَيْهِ وَنَعَقَدَتْ بِهِ. But if the musafir, if the woman, if the slave do attend, then their salatul jumu'ah will be accepted from them. If they do attend, their salatul jumu'ah will be accepted from them. But important to note that they will not be counted from that 40. We cannot have, for example, 30 local permanent residence, and then we have 10 musafirs, and we say, yalla, we make Salatul Jumu'ah. According to the school, no. We require 40 permanent residents. And then if there's 10 musafirs, alhamdulillah, they've attended, and their Salatul Jumu'ah is accepted from them, walhamdulillah. Wa min shartiha al-adad. And it's also a condition, this matter of the number, and also wal-istitan, that the place that we are praying Salatul Jumu'ah should be a place of residency. It shouldn't be in the middle of the jungle, middle of the desert, and we have tents. Even if, we have, 40 permanent residents, they've joined us in this journey, etc. But it seems a bit odd. What are 10 permanent residents doing in the middle of the desert? Nonetheless, point is that the place where we are performing Salatul Jumu'ah, it must be a place of residency, and we must have 40 permanent residents. Walhamdulillah. Wa idhnul imam. We need permission from the imam to establish this Jumu'ah Salah. Some of the scholars state that no. The official position of the madhab is that we do not require the permission of the imam for the establishment of the Jumu'ah Salah. Jayid. Many of them state that it's the official position of the madhab is that you do not require the permission of the imam to establish Jumu'ah Salah. Wal khutbatan, and the two khutbas, as we've already discussed, walhamdulillah, Salatul Jumu'ah, and was this Salatul Eid, you require two khutbas, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, with that we have completed the matters pertaining to Salah, walhamdulillah, the most important pillar of Al-Islam after our Shahadatain. The first matter we will be asked about on Yawmul Qiyamah with regards to the rights of Allah will be this matter of Salah. Where are you with regards to your Salah, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah? Your Nabi, our Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on his deathbed, his general advice was, As-Salah, 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 As-Salah. The matter of Salah, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. If we are tulabul ilm, if we are students of knowledge, if we are beginner, intermediate, whatever level, we are Muslim, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, who are seeking knowledge, then we should be in a level when it comes to our salah. We should be in that level that there shouldn't be any doubt, there shouldn't be any aspersions, there shouldn't be any issues, any problems with regards to our salawat. Our salawat, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, pillar of al-Islam, ensure that you look after, ensure that you safeguard these salawat. This is your capital, this is your capital on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, until we meet again, hayyakumullah, remember, if your knowledge is above average, your ibadah, your salah, your character, your behavior, all of these are also supposed to be above average. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka al-abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.